You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. I want to thank you for checking out episode number 42. Man, a lot has changed since I last recorded one of these podcasts. This coronavirus pandemic has just upended all of our lives. I'm 35 years old, born and raised in a city that never sleeps. Never in my wildest imagination did I believe I would see the day where New York City, let alone the world, would come to a complete standstill. Yet, that's exactly what we have been experiencing this last month. So first and foremost, I just want to send a salute to everybody out there. You know, whether you're in the house doing your part to keep you and your family safe, or you're getting up every day, going to work, helping society to fight this virus. And I'm not just talking doctors and nurses. I'm talking bus drivers, Uber drivers, the freckle-faced kid at the fast food joint. Like, it's all appreciated. All of your efforts are heroic. So straight up, salute to you. And of course, rest in peace to everybody that has lost their life. I struggled with this episode, man. I ain't know which direction to go in. You know, I hope to get back to the fun and games of sports eventually. But I wanted to talk some real life for a second. I hope you guys don't have an issue with that. My man Kamoya hit me the other day. He was like, yo, Will, you've been studying up, like going in the archives of sports history to come up with sports topics. I'm like, yo, Mac, I'm going to hit you with this Kanye line. Kanye said it on So Appalled. He said, niggas is going through real shit, man. They out of work. That's why another goddamn dance track gotta hurt. I'd rather spit something that gotta perk. Hey, motherfuckers going through real life, man. They don't want to sit here and argue about whether Dak Prescott should get a max contract. I mean, we'll get into that eventually. But I want to stay here on this virus for a second. But you know what? Matter of fact, we could keep it sports a little bit. I want to go back to the beginning of this pandemic. And I want to ask you, when did it become real for you? I was talking to my man Fat Cat. I said, yo, Fat Cat, when did the virus become real for you? He said, yo, well, when I couldn't get a haircut, that's when I knew it was something serious. I said, Fat Cat, I hear you. But for me, the virus became real when I learned the NBA has ceased operations. An international organization, you know, beloved around the globe, players from around the globe, Africa, Nigeria, Slovenia, France, Canada. When they decided to shut down operations, I said, man, this is something serious. And now when I look back, the NBA was a leader when it came to this virus. They were one of the first organizations to cease operation. And that move made everyone else pay attention. And because of the NBA's foresight, shit, and I'm not being hyperbolic, they might have saved many lives. I want to tell you guys, back in February, I started working with Major League Baseball. I was going to be working on international events. One of the events I was going to be working on was the World Baseball Classic, which is like, you know, the World Cup of baseball. Teams come from all over the globe looking to compete. You know, you got the qualifier tournaments, you got the big tournaments. So I was going to help organize that event. It was set to take place in March in Tucson, Arizona. So the first part of my duties with Major League Baseball right here in New York City. And then in March, our department was going to deploy to Tucson, Arizona and conduct the 3-week event. Teams from all over the globe, France, Germany, Netherlands, Philippines, Great Britain, Czech Republic, New Zealand, Brazil. It's going to be fantastic. So early March comes. You know, we hear grumblings about this virus, but at that point, it was really just an overseas virus. So we turn to our leadership in Major League Baseball. They say, business as usual. Keep going. We're monitoring the situation. So March 6th, I take off for Tucson, Arizona. We're in Arizona. We're awaiting the arrival of our teams. Eventually, the teams start to trickle in. We got 200-plus players and staff from all over the globe. Matter of fact, it might have been close to 300. Right there in Tucson, Arizona. Still hearing about this virus. Still hearing about this virus. Every day we got a morning call, Major League Baseball. Yo, what's the deal? What's the deal? We're monitoring it. My friends ask, yo, Will, like, y'all still keeping this going? Yeah, man, that's the word I got from the higher-ups. And then the NBA ceased operations. The day the NBA ceased operations, Major League Baseball superiors, everybody, yo, emergency meeting tonight, 11 o'clock, emergency meeting. It was the NBA that was the leader when it came to this virus. So at that emergency meeting, we discussing what is it going to take? What are the repercussions? What are the consequences of continuing versus canceling the event? And one of the biggest points was, yo, we got to get these teams home. So the very next morning, Major League Baseball decided to shut down the tournament. And we scrambling. Luckily, we were able to get everybody home. We booking flights to the wee hours of the morning. All of those teams that came to participate, we were able to get them home safe and sound. And then eventually, Major League Baseball staff, we came home March 14th. But that was all initiated by the NBA deciding that, hey, we're going to go with safety of our players, our fans, and the public over financial benefits. And I'm not being hyperbolic. I believe that saved so many lives. NBA basketball ceased operations and was shut down before the New York City public school system. So let's think about this, guys. 4 weeks after we were told to quarantine, 4 weeks after things were shut down, our coronavirus numbers were still at a very high level. So to me, that means that prior to we really knew how serious it was, when we were just conducting business as usual, individuals were affecting one another while we're still going to stores, we're still going to restaurants, we're still going to bars, we're still riding the train. We were affecting each other a great deal. That's why even after we were under lockdown, numbers continue to climb. So imagine if the NBA didn't cease operations and we continued to operate business as usual for another week, another 10 days. The death toll would have been multiplied. The NBA and its decision to cease operations made our politicians say, maybe we might need to take a serious look at this. The NBA stopping its operations made the Board of Education here in New York City say, maybe these kids need to be learning from a distance. If not for the NBA ceasing operations, I might have been in Arizona for another week with individuals from all over the globe getting affected with who knows what, shaking hands, slapping high fives, who knows what. So I just wanted to bring that up to salute the NBA, man. I don't think that has truly been recognized how much of a leader, how much foresight they exercise. Nobody made them stop. Nobody shut them down. It wasn't a government mandate. They didn't say, yo, we need to monitor it more. They said, nah, two of our players are affected. Our fans are at risk. It ain't worth it. Shut it down. You see, sports can be special in that way when it can be a leader in societal issues, cultural issues. You know, whether you're going back to Muhammad Ali and him raising awareness about the Islamic religion or the inequities in the military draft? Or are you talking about Magic Johnson and him raising awareness about HIV and AIDS? I think Magic Johnson single-handedly changed the narrative on HIV and AIDS in this country. You know, prior to Magic, HIV and AIDS was for homosexuals that did drugs and shared needles. A popular figure like Magic made people change that ignorant perspective, become more informed. Because they're like, damn, we love Magic. We watched him play for 10, 12 years. He's affected. Oh, snap. Maybe this isn't what I thought it was. And I believe that same situation happened here with the NBA and this decision to cease operations, raising awareness around the country, making people stop, pause, and pay attention. I believe that move saved countless lives. So definitely salute to the NBA on that. Not dragging their feet, not waiting for somebody to give them answers, but be willing to go out there and be first. It wasn't popular. If you go online, look at footage when Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, when he learned that the league was shut down, he was like, oh man, maybe we're doing too much. I don't know if that was the right decision. Well, it seems that way now. You look here in New York City, people are questioning if our governor Mario Cuomo and our mayor Bill de Blasio acted fast enough. People were ready to drag their feet. Not Adam Silver and the NBA, man. Salute to them. How you guys doing during this quarantine? It's hard being in the house all day, ain't it? A lot of us are used to getting up, running the streets. You know, I hear people talk about being bored, nothing to do. And I want to tell you, for me personally, I think this time is something that is truly special. I think this is a special opportunity, what we have here, being locked down, being quarantined. Now, of course, my heart goes out to individuals who don't know where their next meal is coming from, who are homeless, whose health has been compromised due to this virus. My heart goes out to you. I'm talking to the individuals that, whether it be working from home or unemployment, that have a paycheck, who have their families with them, who are safe and healthy. This is not time you should take for granted. You know, I would ask you, what are you in a rush to get back to? Getting up at 5 a.m., being crammed on a train, go sitting behind somebody's cubicle? Being away from your family for 8 hours a day? Shit, 10 when you include all of the when you include the commute? What you in a rush to get back to? Being under the white man's thumb? Those of us from disenfranchised communities, this is the time we've been asking for. Because when America's operating at its full capacity, we don't have equal share in those profits. When you look on TV, the people that are screaming for us to get back, they want to see the economy up. That's the upper 1% who want to see us back out there acting as their little minions to line their pockets. Nah, I'm good. I'm using this time to sharpen my skills. You know, I would implore those individuals that think they're bored. How can you be? You got your family there with you. Get up every day and be productive. You know, we always work these jobs. And you know, when you're on the job, you're like, man, son, I wish I was home, man. I wish I could spend more time with the kids, man. Man, this damn job. Well, your prayers have been answered. There's so many ways we can be productive, man. If you're at home with your kids, you know, I know parents lament the fact that they don't like the education that their kids are getting. There's not enough black history. Well, guess what? They right next to you. Pull them aside and teach them a new person every day. And at the end of the week, let them put a presentation together for you. This is the opportunity to work on you. Work on building your business. Work on learning a new skill. All of the things we've been asking for all these years. Man, I wish I had more time. I wish now is the time. Not so you could get out there and the restaurants are open and you go to these restaurants where they don't even want you at. They going to sit 10 people before you even though you got a restaurant. That's what we in a rush to get back to? No, I'm fine exactly where I'm at. You see there's a war going on outside. This is your time to sharpen your skills. This is your time to make a dent in the system that don't give a damn about you. Y'all in a rush to get back to that? To support a system that only want to hand you a couple little crumbs? Nah, I'm good. I'm in the crib working on my website, working on my podcast, working on my doctoral studies. I'm in the crib making sure my grandparents are safe. This time is special, y'all. Of course, to those of us that are in good health, that got a little money, maximize it. I tell you, man, I reached out to my boy Fenton the other day. Fen, what up, man? Y'all know Fen, he stops by quite often. He has an older brother named Anton. Of course, Anton, my man, 25 plus years. Although, I can't get him to answer the phone for me. I think Anton only answered the phone for certain friends in certain seasons, and spring may not be my season. But my man, nonetheless. So I asked Fen, I said, yo, what up with your brother? He said, oh, I talked to him the other day. He said he in the crib working out like he about to do a bid. Use this opportunity to take your health to another level. Get up, run, walk, ride the bike, push-ups, sit-ups. This is what we've been asking for. Man, I wish I had more time. This is what we've been asking for. To my homeowners, shit, get those gutters cleaned. Home improvement, build something. Plant some vegetables in your backyard. Teach your son and daughter some Boy Scout and Girl Scout tricks, how to make a fire from scratch, something. Because if this virus doesn't highlight anything else, it highlights how vulnerable Black America is, disenfranchised communities are. Because not only are we vulnerable because there's a killer virus out there. We're vulnerable because any information about that virus, we have to learn secondhand. We got to learn from our enemy. Well, does the mask prevent or does it not? We got to wait for them to give us a vaccination. I think it was Malcolm X that said, when America gets a cold, Black people get the flu. It's always going to be a notch worse for us. Well, this time lockdown is an opportunity to make a dent in that. Study something you never studied before. Consume some material, some books, some content you never consumed before to sharpen your skills, broaden your horizons. Be better. Once they open those doors and let us out, be better than you were. Not get back to the status quo. Those kids is right next to you learning. Challenge them to learn something new. So we ain't got to rely on Dr. Fauci in 20 years or whatever. We could rely on somebody from our community. Because this virus just highlights, man, I'm looking on the TV. Beloved Dr. Oz, that Oprah Winfrey presented to us years ago, and he been on our TVs ever since. This man is on TV, said, yo, we need to get back out there. It might cost us 3-5% of our students. Hold on, what he mean? He mean to tell us that we need to get back out there, and the virus might kill 3-5% of our children, but that's what's necessary? Huh? This is America's doctor? And you know he ain't talking about his kids, he talking about ours. And he later apologized, but so fucking what? These are the people we got to rely on? So this time is an opportunity to become the best version of yourself. Take your health to a next level. Get up every day, cook your meals. Take time to cut your little vegetables up. You got the time. We not in that rat race we used to be in. This is the prayer you've been asking for when you was at the job. Like, damn, son, I wish I, this is it. What you going to do with it? You know, I kind of enjoy the chaos. Well, I wouldn't say enjoy. I feel comfortable in a chaotic environment. You know why? This is no different than where I was 6 months ago, 8 months ago, 12 months ago. Fighting for my life. And we got to do a better job to sharpen our skills, man. There's a war going on outside and we are ready behind the eight ball. This is a chance to catch up. With this virus, what it has done is it's put things in perspective. And I'm not talking, oh, yeah, this virus really puts things in perspective. I got to call my grandmother more often. I'm not just talking about that. It really puts in perspective what's important as it comes to society. Because when shit hit the fan, what was the first thing to go? The sports. It ain't LeBron James that's digging us out. Some motherfucker named Dr. Fauci. So when we rearing our kids, maybe we should keep that in mind. Yeah, we push them towards the athletics. But when shit hit the fan, that ain't what's going to save us. So make sure they do their homework also. I'm heartbroken every year when the best basketball players in New York City can't accept a college scholarship because their grades ain't up to par. Heartbroken every time. And this virus highlights that, yo, when shit get real, that's the first to go. Ain't no hip-hop artists digging us out of this motherfucker. We behind the eight ball something bad, man. And this time, this opportunity is the break we've been waiting for. What we going to do with it, man? And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm 35 years old, man. A tiger don't change his stripes. My career is probably going to be in this sports stuff. I'm not going to find a cure to cancer. But I'm aware of that. And what does that mean? I try to diversify my portfolio when it comes to my friends. You know, let me inch over here and see what these guys talking about when they talking about farms and shit. Grow my own food supply and not wait for somebody to show up at the grocery store and with packaged meat for me. You know how vulnerable we are? I'll tell you a quick story. I used to date a girl in the Army. She was from Salt Lake City, Utah. Country. Matter of fact, she wasn't even from Salt Lake. Salt Lake is a main city. She was from the country of the country. To highlight how country she was, we were in the Army. She borrowed one of our friend's car one time. She went to go pick up her sister from the airport in Denver, Colorado. A few weeks later, we get a ticket in the mail because she neglected to pay the toll when she drove to the airport. Why did she neglect to pay the toll? Because she had never been through a toll booth in her life. She didn't know what it was. That's how country she was. And she always messes with me. Like, she's like, yo, Will, y'all go to the supermarket to buy y'all meat? I'm like, yeah. She's like, yo, Will, that's so foreign to me. Like, how does it get there? Like, because where she from, she go out back and kill her own meat. What happened if they stopped stocking them shelves in the supermarket? We lost. So let's challenge our kids, each other, to strive for more than just the status quo. To all my friends from the West Indies that talk about these freaking massive farmlands and yo, don't talk to me about crop over. Let's talk about the crops. How we get our hands on that? I don't want to go out there for carnival. Let's go get some land and plant something. So when this shit hit the fan again, we good. That's my humble 2 cents, man. But also on the virus, this thing has really highlighted how, to me, it's kind of rendered money useless. And you might say, well, what are you talking about? I got to get the bag. Yeah, you need money to some degree, but we need something even greater than that. And it's not just money, but an infrastructure that will help sustain us without any help from the outside world. Because if it get really crazy, money is down the drain. It's just paper. What's really going to matter is the person that controls the water supply, the person that controls the farming, the person that has the medical equipment. Those people don't need money. They could just barter between each other. You could show up with $500 million, but dog, okay, that's cash, but what resource do you have behind you that is necessary for my survival? Nothing? Some sneakers? Nah, I'm good. Just a little something to think about, son. Fight for something a little bit more than the bag. We need to have the infrastructure. Right now, we got nothing. The shit we do got, they canceled it ASAP. Sports gone. Hip-hop concerts gone. And we all sitting at the crib watching Dr. Fauci, hoping he come up with a solution for us. What you think? He gonna give the fucking serum to his family first, his people first, and then if we lucky, we get something. The farmers, grocers gonna feed their family first, and if we lucky, it'll trickle down to our community. So what going on outside, man? What we gonna do? Right now on the podcast, I have a special guest, man. I'm excited to have this gentleman on with me. This appearance is long overdue. Somebody that's been down with me for 25 plus years. If you know me, you know this guy, Jermaine Coulthurst, a.k.a. Maserati Main, a.k.a. Bubba Cramden, a.k.a. Fat Cat. What's good, brother?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Excited to have you here, man. I'm glad you are here in good health, man. This pandemic, what you got on it?
Man, I never seen anything like this.
Never seen.
People dying, businesses is closed. It's another world out there.
It's another world out there, indeed. And before we get started, I just want to send a quick salute to you and people like you. My man Fat Cat is a proud member of the New York City Transit Authority, getting up every day on that bus, helping people get to where they need to be. Helping the city move along, playing his part to help fight this pandemic. And yo, bro, I want to salute you. That shit is heroic. No exaggeration. So salute to you indeed. But the reason I had you on the podcast, you know, a lot of focus has been on taking care of yourself. We got a crazy virus out there, just really focusing on people's health. And I know you've been pushing some things for a while, man, and I never really got a chance to sit down with you and chop it up. So I felt no time like the present, especially in this environment. Fat Cat, you've been telling me about CBD. I've been seeing it all over the place. And let me know what you got, man. What's the CBD about?
It's a business I do on the side. CBD is short for the word cannabidiol. It helps out with a number of ailments, pain, arthritis, even cancer. And one of the biggest things that helps right now that's good for this time and age is for the immune system.
Building up the immune system, son.
Yeah, a lot of people is just wearing a mask. And of course, washing their hands is good, but the main way to fight the virus is the immune system.
The immune system, strong immune system. I had plenty of questions about this stuff. I really do see it everywhere, you know, and I hear people talk about, yo, you can use it for knee pain, you can use it for freaking cancer, as you just mentioned. That sound like some snake oil, Fat Cat. You know, how can you have something that works on so many different ailments, man?
It does. Honestly, it should cancel, knock out about 12 to 13 medications out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people is tired of using medications. They want something more organic. This is plant-based. And the CBD does wonders. Pure CBD. Every CBD is not the same.
Tell me again what it means.
Cannabidiol.
Right, and again, me that was just looking at it on the periphery. Cannabidiol goes with cannabis, so it's associated with weed. So I'm drug free, Fat Cat. I don't want to take anything that's going to make me piss hot on the drug test.
Nah. This is 100% THC free. The CBD comes from the hemp plant. The hemp plant and the marijuana plant is two different plants. The hemp plant has less than 0.3% THC in it. Marijuana has above 0.3 THC in it. Right. So the CBD, 100% THC free CBD, will not show up on the drug test. It won't get in your system. We have a certificate analysis, a COA, that proves that. So if any company is not showing you a COA certificate analysis, then their CBD is either fake or don't have the amount of CBD they claiming.
All right, I got you. Because when this pandemic hit, you know, I mean, all of our lives have been affected. You'd be a fool to not pay attention, to not try to do your best to guard against it, whether it's washing hands, just freaking showering three times a day.
Right.
I found myself in the vitamin shop for the first time in my life, trying to just get some vitamins to help boost my immune system. What would you suggest for somebody like me? I'm a middle-aged guy. I'm healthy. And I just want a little extra something, like some vitamins, a little boost to help keep me healthy.
Well, we have CBD capsules. You could use that. But even better than that is the tincture drops. You know, we have a 500 milligram, 1,000 milligram, and a 1,500 milligram. So those, if you use those on a daily basis, that would definitely build your immune system. And just keep using it. Any other ailments you have, if you have any pain too.
Tell me about your daily regimen when it comes to the CBD. Because again, this is my man.
Yeah.
He on this podcast, I wanted to bring him on because I know he's been pushing this to me for a long time. And in this climate, no time like the present. Let me get to the bottom of this. If this is something that can help keep us healthy, I wanted to explore it. So Fat Cat, tell me what your daily regimen is like when it comes to the CBD.
One of the CBDs we have is a spray. It's a spray tincture, and it has nanotechnology in it. Basically, that means it absorbs quicker in the body.
Okay.
So that has 600 milligrams. So I spray that in my mouth, and I hold it for a minute under my tongue. Then right after that, I use a 1,500 milligram tincture drop. I hold that in my mouth for 2 minutes, and then I swallow. And then so far, at nighttime, at the end of the day, when I'm coming home from work, before I get on trains, I'll use the spray again. So far, I've been feeling good. Nothing wrong with me. A friend of mine said to me the other day, yo, how all the MTA workers is feeling sick and you good? Like, I'm like, because I'm using that CBD.
Yo, I don't think you got the cure to coronavirus, but no. Thank you for sharing that regimen, man. Again, this is my man. I want to give him a shot coming here. And if something that could help the audience, like, you know what I mean? Just to educate everybody on what's out there. That was my man, Fat Cat. Yo, in my hood, Fat Cat is a treasure, man. That dude is a folk hero. I know Fang will have fun with that one. But in all seriousness, you know, Fat Cat's a solid dude. Young man that's been hustling, working his CBD stuff for a while. Everywhere I look, you see it posted. You hear great things about it. And in this pandemic, I just want to give you got something else to think about. Give him a shot. You know what I'm saying? If you're interested, hit me up. And I'll definitely connect him. But give him a shot, man. He says his stuff is legit. He got the paperwork to back it up. He got the research to back it up. Give him a shot. Before I get out of here, salute to my man DA up in the truck. Again, delivery drivers, everybody doing heroic stuff, man. Doing heroic stuff. Salute to my man Steven Arzu out in France, always checking in. And last but not least, man, I'm recording this podcast from my home. Now y'all know I'm technologically challenged, which means somebody help me piece this together. That somebody's my man F. Francis. Salute to the young man. Appreciate you, brother. That's WBH Radio episode 42, and I'm out.